Alright, welcome to the Press Files members. Adam plugging in here on Saturday night, the 14th of January 2022, for the Night Watch podcast with Adam. Got a few things to cover tonight, why not, huh? Saturday night here in Sydney, Australia. And I hope you guys are doing fine, and thank you so much for your ongoing support. You're helping me here on the ground to keep that website up and running and continue here, so it's really awesome. You guys are great. Thank you so much to some of the members who put in some extra contributions. That's wonderful, absolutely fantastic. In fact, really helps me continue here. I'm still waiting on my phone, probably come next week, so I can continue my podcast and finish my podcast with Janice. So supposed to get on Friday, but didn't arrive. Australia Post. But all good. Everything's up on the website, crassfiles.com. Plenty going up. Get into the members area as well. Have a chat in there or just take a look. There's lots of great info going up indeed. And still good traffic on the Crass Files website lately, which is great. The last week has been amazing. Huge views on the website and people going through it. So that's really cool. No members though, but that's the way that it is. Actually doing some work tonight on the website just to fix up the to update the members sort of widgets that display there for people to click on to become a member. Just going to update those, so you know that's more time and money, you know. But been there for years, so we'll update those a little bit, and for 2023 anyway. Other than that, everything's pretty smooth on the website and running okay. If you do have any issues, which you shouldn't, it's usually just a password issue, please contact me immediately so I can fix it for you. It's usually a lost password thing, and you can't, if you don't have your password or you've forgotten it, you won't be able to change it. You have to log into the website to do that, folks. Pretty much, that's the best way. So just let us know and I'll change it for you, and that usually fixes it. But all running okay, indeed. Saturday the 14th here in Sydney, Australia. As I said, I hope you guys are doing fine out there, wherever you may be, in very strange times. I was just looking at all some information today on Klaus Schwab and these individuals, you know, and Bill Gates and all this and all these things, and these WEF meetings and Davos meetings and things that they do. And it made me think about Get Smart. That old TV show with Maxwell Smart and Chaos. It's kind of like that, isn't it? I mean, and I think the joke's on us. I really do. I think the joke's on us. And I think, you know, we on this planet, the billions of us are putting up with it, and they just keep going and going and going, and just it's like one big joke, and they just keep pushing. The whole thing's like a game, and they must be sitting there thinking, what can we get away with? I mean, it's really ghastly, what they're doing. I did save this. It might be, no, I didn't post it. I was just looking at it earlier. It was quite interesting. This one's from Truth Talk. It's just called Schwabian Cyberpunk. It just says here that I read the Klaus Schwab's book, The Fourth Industrial Revolution, so you don't have to. Since the turn of the century, we have been in the midst of the Fourth Industrial Revolution, according to the World Economic Forum, or CHAOS. Klaus Schwab, the forum's founder and CEO and head of CHAOS, describes this as a technical revolution accompanied by nothing less than a dramatic transformation of human civilization that will radically affect the way we live, work, and engage with each other. This transformation will usher in an entirely new chapter in human development. The availability and fusion of new, quite astonishing technology, according to Schwab, is a distinguishing aspect of the Fourth Industrial Revolution. This, he claims, will eventually result in the blurring of the boundaries between the physical, digital, and biological domains. This mostly pertains to the application of bio and neurotech implantable technologies and the internet of bodies or things. These are technologies that are less concerned with the human surroundings and more concerned with transforming the human person itself, having a long-term impact on it being and its being an identity. With the fourth industrial revolution, according to Klaus Schwab, we are facing a metamorphosis of the human being, the likes of which we have never encountered before. So, Schwab clearly can hardly contain his excitement about the impending technological breakthroughs and mechanization of man, he predicts. He anticipates that humans would soon begin integrating digital technologies into our bodies, which is going on right now with the injections. And as I said many times, people are going to die off and have terrible reactions and stuff. And they're making more. They're doing more now. They're going to keep producing them and injecting people, and eventually it will take. The human form will take with this technology they're injecting in people. And the new technology may actually become a part of us in the process. This is singularity when it happens. This, he claims, will blur the distinction between technologies and living beings. What the fuck is this thing? Where does it come from and what is it? It probably is answering to very dark entities, huh? So he builds his technocratic idea of a new human being, alluding to the cyborg metaphor, and predicts that in the future there will be strange hybrids of digital and analog life that redefine our very being, sort of like Blade Runner. Schwab's statements speak of the traditional dream of a new, more ideal human being. This is a long-standing dream. It is nothing novel or special. A diverse range of intellectuals often aspired for a more perfect human being while remaining confident of humanity's unending growth. This conviction in development was sometimes accompanied by an unwavering faith in scientific advances and later in the potential connected with the widespread application of technology. The new man of the fourth industrial revolution, on the other hand, differs fundamentally from prior ideas of man created by Friedrich Nietzsche or even Karl Marx. If I got that right, Friedrich Nietzsche. For example, moral ideas, character structure, and societal conditions have all been replaced by technology. Humans are supposed to progress simply through successful application of new technologies rather than through education, upbringing, practical experience, or revolutionary action. Humans are supposed to progress simply through successful application of new technologies rather than through education, upbringing, practical experience, or revolutionary action. According to the World Economic Forum's stated intention, the human being emerging from the future economic transition will predominantly be the result of new technology. The transhumanist future vision seeks to perfect and further perfect man through application of new technology, processes, and technological interventions in his body. It promotes an elitist and repressive technocratic image of man, the repercussions of which cannot even be estimated at this time. These demons need to be wiped from this planet. It's the only way, and I think eventually the people have to do it. Maybe I don't know, but they have to go and they have to burn them. They have to be burned. All of these entities, whatever the fuck they are, it has to be cast away from this world. It is so evil. It is so horrid. These people are so horrid, and the unbelievable thing is they're having meetings right under everyone's noses, and they fly in and they have these lavish meetings, and we take it. We do a few protests, but we pretty much take it, you know? Are the people of Melbourne down there on the steps of Parliament removing this fucking criminal tyrant? They're not. they got their entertainment and their bars and everything back, and they couldn't give a shit. Neurotechnologies for brain and behavior control. Employers will be increasingly interested in using neurotechnologies to boost performance, as well as to evaluate job applicants and monitor staff. The usage of biometric technology in the workplace, as well as tracking via radio frequencies identification, RFID, may lead to employers directly or indirectly monitoring the brains of employees in the future. Remember, I talked about that movie with Christopher Lambert, Fortress, where the warden in the prison of the future is watching his dreams and stuff, and they intestinate them. This is what they want. If you're in your cubicle like the guy in the Matrix, doing your job on the computer, the people running that company or the boss want to be able to log into your thoughts to make sure you're not thinking anything outside of the work thing. This will allow firms to see through key consumer decision-making tendencies and more readily encourage consumers to behave in the desired manner. Fundamentally, neurotechnologies are proving to be ideal for affecting people's awareness and thinking. Such technology can aid in decoding ideas, repairing errors in the brain, and enhancing its function. In a society driven by algorithms and pervasive data collecting, access to even a person's most private thoughts cannot be ruled out. Of course, designer babies and biotechnology. The WEF also sees biotechnologies as having a great potential for increasing mechanization of humans. They provide critical tools and technologies for fundamentally reframing man's connection with nature. Recent advances in biology, particularly genetics, have been remarkable. For example, there has been significant advancement in gene editing. Researchers from Yatsen University in Guangzhou, of course, I guess that's China, is it? Guangzhou presented the world's first scientific publication on modifying the DNA of human embryos in April 2015. As a result, it is now possible to precisely modify the DNA even in living embryos. All of this, Schwab explains, means that the future designer babies will, with exceptional features or illness resistance, can be born. The forum then sees the next logical step as the broad application of synthetic biology, which results in the production of designer creatures. This would eventually usher humanity into a whole new age of metabolic engineering and synthetic biology. This should allow one to create organisms for oneself. They can be customized by writing their DNA. Ultimately, this is about nothing less than interfering with future generations' genetic code, according to Anil Schwab. Implants for human body optimization. Computer technology will no longer be worn or carried around the body, wearables, but will be implanted directly into the human body with implantable technologies. This will largely help to increase communication as well as to identify people and track their behavior in addition to medical needs. In this regard, Klaus Schwab refers to active implantable microchips that break through our body's epidermal barrier and generate exciting alternatives. These range from possibilities for maximizing and enhancing human capabilities to integrated therapeutic systems, human enhancement. Small computers will be integrated into the human body in this manner and gradually become a physical part of us. It is thus an issue of technological intervention in the body, which will essentially result in the merger of man and machine, singularity. singularity, folks. The goal is to enable purely technological further development and optimization of the human being, which should contribute to an increase in performance. They've been showing us in the sci-fi movies for decades. The Internet of Bodies. The Earth is currently on the verge of major structural transformation. The World Economic Forum continues. As a result, the globe is more polarized between those who embrace change and those who resist it. The resulting ontological inequality separates those willing and competent to adapt from those refusing to adapt, thereby defining who will succeed and who will lose in this process. While the victors would gain from some forms of radical human optimization, such as genetic engineering, the losers would not. I am so sad. The resultant tensions promote the creation of class conflicts and other disagreements unlike anything we have ever known. As a result, there is a significant risk of greater fragmentation, exclusion, and social instability in a hyper-connected world of increasing inequality. Klaus Schwab will go into his bunkers, I guess. They'll take him down into his bunker. I mean, how long is this cunt going to live for anyway? I don't even think they seem human to me. God knows what they are. They're just absolutely creepy. In 2016, Schwab wrote that there is a dearth of cohesive, optimistic, and unified narrative that highlights the prospects and challenges of the fourth industrial revolution. However, he believes that the existence of such a narrative would be necessary if various people and communities are to be encouraged to play an active role in defining it, while avoiding a broad social backlash against the basic changes. Under such conditions, the fourth industrial revolution present potential cannot be efficiently and thoroughly harnessed. In numerous instances, politicians lack the essential leadership and awareness of the changes that are occurring. Furthermore, the required institutional regulatory structure is either insufficient or non-existent. Thanks, Klaus. And who again told you that you are supposed to come up with that narrative? Shock strategy and opportunity for authoritarian centralism during COVID-19. With the COVID-19 fake pandemic and the resulting constraints on public life, the digital transformation of society has found its impetus as Klaus Schwab and Thierry Malaret write in their book COVID-19 The Great Reset, which I have analysed here. As a result, they regard the pandemic as a fundamental turning point in global development. They claim that the time has finally come for a paradigm shift. In the following decades, a new world with a new normal may develop. If people just can't see it, they're still wearing masks today. I saw them. And it's 28 degrees. The World Economic Forum's organizers regard the crisis caused by the coronavirus pandemic, which is fake, as a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to carry out the Great Set, but they caused it, so it's all designed and it's all pre-planned. They're acting, he's trying to write that the pandemic was random and now it's given them a Great Reset chance. What a fucking joke. How can people believe that? They are concerned with a global implementation of a far-reaching economic and social reforms, which will result in a fundamental upheaval of the entire previous economic and lifestyle system. They rely on enhanced centralism and strong authoritarian elements in the measures they intend to implement to build their technocratic agenda within a global regulatory framework, global governance. Repression, technology, control and surveillance. In the aftermath of the corona crisis or hoax, representatives and supporters of the World Economic Forum see a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to implement a comprehensive mechanization of man, as well as the system change they forecast and consider essential in the accelerated and non-violent manner worldwide. According to Schwab, the drastic system transformation envisaged necessitates people constantly adapting to the changes that are occurring. So this is cooking the frog, boiling it slowly. They won't even know. However, it is unclear how the constant integration of technology into our lives will influence our idea of identity, and whether it would damage key human capacities such as self-reflection, empathy, and sympathy. Well, that's what they want off the table. Furthermore, governments face a genuine risk of combining technologies to undermine civil society, organizations, and citizen groups that demand for transparency in government and economic activity. Finally, constraining such organizations' independence and operations through laws and other measures further reduces the space for civil society. As a result, the instruments of the Fourth Industrial Revolution enable new types of surveillance and new control possibilities that run antithetical to healthy open communities. Additionally, as the digital world developed and evolved, the corona pandemic improved options for human observation and control. It's all about control. Again, corporations in particular are becoming very interested in tracking their employees' health. As a result, it is reasonable to expect increased surveillance of dependent employees in the future. This could be attributed to concerns about their health and safety, according to Schwab. Technical surveillance tools will most likely stay in place even after the pandemic. Well, of course they will. It was all implemented by Chinese workers in Melbourne, we know that, and when everyone was locked down, so that's in there to stay. This is evident, they write, because employers have no reason to remove a monitoring system once it has been installed. Duh, really, you fucking idiot. Especially if one of the indirect benefits of monitoring it is to check worker productivity. Well, of course. How obvious. How obvious that they installed all this technology when everyone was locked down to protect us from some fake virus. And then, of course, the technology is not just going to be taken out. It only will be with QR coding and stuff, because that was just a test. Decay, chaos, and dystopia. Both authors also predict that the number of those who are unemployed, concerned, dissatisfied, indignant, unwell, and hungry today will increase massively following the pandemic. They also note that two types of people will confront a particularly bleak employment situation: young people entering the pandemic-ravaged labor market for the first time, and workers who may be displaced by machines. There will also be personal tragedies, as well as the hatred and despair of people from all walks of life. The emergence of social unrest must thus be seen as one of the most serious threats, with such a development, in their opinion, even generating to social breakdown and political collapse in extreme situations. However, history has shown that prospects of eliminating current inequities are unlikely without accompanying severe social disturbance. To be sure, governments and corporations had employed increasingly sophisticated technologies to monitor and occasionally control citizens and employees. In earlier years, however, the potential offered by the corona crisis could have a considerably greater influence on individual rights and liberties, making it a watershed moment in surveillance history. Such a scenario would result in the growth of authoritarian tendencies and more repression. Perhaps some individuals will soon discover that their country has suddenly turned into a place where they no longer want to be. And this is what Schwab said. And this is what could happen in Australia, folks, if we don't do something now. Overall, it all comes down to the individuals and the values, summarizes Schwab. That is why it must be feasible to create a future worth living in, because in its worst dehumanized form, aren't these people sick, man? The fourth industrial revolution does certainly have the ability to turn people into machines without a heart or a soul, says Schwab, this filthy fucking creature. Furthermore, there had never been a moment that arrived with more promise, but also with such immense looming doom. As a result, the utopia of mankind's technological perfection may lead sooner than predicted to a dystopian society that offers no future worth living for humans. The yearning for new, designed human being did not emerge accidentally, but rather as a result of a protracted historical evolution. However, such a growth is not predetermined nor necessarily imperative for humanity. As a result, it is correctable. Nobody has to accept it as fate. We've been warned. It's a good and basic article there that outlines everything. I think these people are really fucking sick, man, in the head. The new man of the fourth industrial revolution, huh? Well, as I said, if we go out, we go out, but we go out with our soul and our genes intact. I'm not doing this. But all they have to do to continue this is entertain people, bread and circuses, you know. Will there be enough of an uprising to stop this? Bring up this one. I saved it from the other day. It's decent. It's decent. Some good tips. Natural news. Staying under the radar. Tips for efficient stealth prepping. Do you want to prep before shit hits the fan, but you're worried about drawing attention to yourself? If you want to avoid unwanted attention, try stealth prepping to prepare for unexpected disasters. Stealth prepping or guerrilla prepping involves learning survival skills and preparing for survival scenarios while also being discreet. And you have to sometimes, like I have to around here, like the guy next door, he's got this massive house, they've got a lot of money, they've got big families, they're constantly having parties with all these people. He walks around like a fucking moron with his Christmas hat on every year. They go up to their holiday houses on the coast. And, you know, we have really nothing here but the bare bones. And to... I have no money in my account this week. With all the rent and bills and everything. And these people have so much money. They're fucked in the head. They're absolutely fucked in the head. They're gone. And he thinks the same about me, so it's you can't win. You know? He says, she says. But it's the truth. These people are fucked in the head. They're on their fourth jabs now. They're sick. They think it's COVID. They'll get more. They just, all they play into is the mainstream media. But the reason why these people around me, some of them, are dangerous is because they won't just say, oh, this guy next door, he's into this, he's into that, you know, whatever. I mean, they will dob on you. They will dob on you. They're fucked in the head. They're really gone. There's a lot of them that are absolutely gone. And unintentionally or whatever, they're working for the system against us, you know, and that makes them the enemy always. They're really dangerous. So, you know, if I'm doing the podcast, I shut my windows. I really try to block out anything. I don't want them. I don't say anything to them. I play dumb because they're that dangerous. They're absolutely gone. They're gone in their heads. They're absolutely gone. And they will dob you in. If you're interested in this, think of how you can incorporate this concept into your own life and prepping and your place and your abilities and what you have. You know, if you have really small or, you know, very limited space. Here are some activities and projects to start with. Prepping for supplies. Start these activities. Well, there's links there. Organic gardening. Organic gardening is a trendy activity, and many people now recognize the benefits of growing organic food in their own homes. If you start gardening, none of your neighbors will think it's weird. That's how gone they are. They're all watching Koshi in the morning. Here are some crops you can plant. Berries. Bush beans, cabbage, corn, cucumbers, garlic, herbs, peas and these kinds of things. Sweet potatoes, all that kind of stuff. Look, in a situation where you're desperate or you might need it, it's okay. I would, this is where this kind of gardening does come into play because it's quiet. I would say definitely have chooks and stuff for eggs and things, but then they make noise and they bagark, bagark, you know. See, if you've got chickens, the neighbours think you're weird, you see. Can't have chickens. Edible landscapes. If you're interested in advanced stealth prepping, turn your yard into an edible landscape. Plant edible flowers, bushes and trees, plenty in Australia. Plant edible fruits and vegetables, but hide them amongst flowers and bushes and trees. Put some beehives in there, maybe, to camouflage them and things like that. Even some cannabis plants can be good with your tomato plants, as we all know. Either way, you get a beautiful landscape property and can secretly feed you after a disaster strikes. This is a good thing if you have the time to do it. Here's some edible flowers, calendula, chives, marigolds, sunflowers, roses, these kinds of things. You know, whatever you can think of and plant. Beekeeping, of course, in your backyard is a really good thing. There's nothing wrong with raw honey. It is an animal-type product, and it's full of good stuff, man. And this is an amazing thing, you know. I mean, I think if you're really, really prepared and you have some kind of beehive, that's a good thing, isn't it? But they're making it so restricted now. Someone put up a picture, an image from a forested area, maybe around New South Wales somewhere in the forest areas, and they're baiting now. They're baiting. This is what the councils and the governments are doing in this country. They're baiting bees and killing them in these boxes, and it's spreading. They're killing all our bees. I get my honey off local people who have it in their backyards, and they just spoon it into the jars for you, and we just pay them, and their kids will drop it around, you know, big jars of it. There's plenty of people doing it. I've got a whole cupboard full of raw honey, and I've been eating it since I was a kid, and my daughter's grown up on raw honey, just eating it, and she's fine. So, you know, it's an absolutely fantastic and powerful product. But there is an attack on our bee industry here, and what they're trying to do now in New South Wales is they're trying to get rid of all the organic bee farmers and the raw bee farmers and stuff like that. So only the big guys exist. They want to get them out of business, and so they're baiting our bees in our forests. And I would say to everyone out there, if you're in your areas, if you're in Australia and you're listening to me right now, go out, and if you see these bee baiting boxes that says don't touch, smash the fucking thing to pieces, take it off, cut it off, take some clippers with you, whatever you need, cut them off and throw them in the bin and smash them. Because that's an attack against life, and it's an attack against us. They're claiming that they've got some mite, and that's bullshit. It's an excuse. It started in Newcastle, and they're spreading everywhere, and they're killing all our bees, billions of them. It's fucking disgraceful. And they don't want people, growing the bees in their backyard. That's what they want to do. So they're going to, after this, you watch. When all this kind of levels out, they're going to bring in new draconian legislations to control this. You know, there's become like an offense to grow bees in your backyard. It's fucking bullshit. I, of course, will encourage people to do native bees. I've been to a place recently where a family were harvesting the honey from their native bees. It's only usually once a year. You don't get much, but it's extremely potent. I mean, unbelievably powerful. I'd say this stuff would be hundreds of times more powerful than even the strongest honeys. I mean, it's pretty unbelievable stuff. They look like little flies flying around. They're amazing. They're stingless, and you can just grow them and put them everywhere. Foraging is really good too. You can learn how to forage, and that's really taken off in Australia. There's a lot of hiking and classes you can do where you can forage. I've seen classes around here on the coastal areas where people can forage on the sand dunes and around the coastal plant areas for things to eat and things like that. Which is really good. Indigenous people in this country, they know so much about this. It's unbelievable. Of course, raising chickens for eggs is a massive step. But before you buy chickens, you've got to build a coop in your backyard and make sure all that's done. They're pretty messy and they poo everywhere, you know, but still, you know, it can be put back into the environment, everything. Chickens eat scraps and worms and dig around, so they're pretty good to have around, good for the family and the kids. And if you get healthy chickens and they're in the sunshine and dust bathing and free range and you feed them well, you get really good eggs, and that's a nice thing. I remember the best eggs, I think the best eggs I've ever had was in southern Patagonia. We went down there one summer, and there was just everywhere you go is just these wild rivers and trout fishing, fly fishing, and mountains and lakes and volcanoes, you know, and forests. It's so wild, you know, and everywhere like you go, like around places, everyone lets their chickens go wild all day. They're on the roads and everywhere, and I guess at night they go back. And yeah, I got all these eggs, and I remember the eggs were like bright yellow. They were bright yellow. And I made some scrambled eggs with them. I was eating them every night, and they were like so yellow. I'd never seen that color. So that implies to me there's like a lot of saturated beta carotene and stuff in those eggs, you know, very rich. This is a really good thing to have, you know, having your chooks. Obviously, we've had a silky chook for about 6 years now, and it's still laying all these eggs. I'm not kidding. It's still laying all these eggs. Lays them all around in the bushes and stuff. You just got to go and find them, and they're fantastic. They're really yellow. We've had this one for about 6 years. So there you go, you know, 6 years. And it's because it's this chicken is happy and free range and just goes around the garden all day and there's no stress. It's the thing, you know, they're not stressed. She's not stressed. And like the commercial ones, so, you know, which will only get, you know, the months or the year or whatever out of them. And they get rid of them. 6 years. Think about that. I mean, this chicken has been laying eggs 6 years. They get a bit broody and they go off, but I just can't believe it. So if you look after your chickens and you give them a lot of love and a lot of sunlight and they feel comfortable around your environment and there's no predators around, it's really amazing. They'll just keep laying. It is saying here, buy your meat directly from the ranch. Buying organic meat directly from rancher is another trend that doubles as stealthy prep. Ongoing supply chain issues also make it more logical to do this. You can prep discreetly by purchasing a whole or half animal from local rancher. This healthy choice also offers another bonus, since you get a lot of meat all at once compared to buying smaller cuts at the grocer or the butcher. And I would say things like fishing as well in Australia, where there's so much fish. And, you know, go to areas, don't worry about it, just go to areas. I'm seeing people pulling out fish everywhere I go. There's just, it, every time I go swimming and stuff, they're jumping everywhere. You can get whole fish and just cook them up, you know, and just pull the meat out and eat that, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. Australian waters are super clean. And if you don't have enough freezer space, you can you have the option of home canned meat and poultry. Learn about food canning so you can store extra meat at room temperature without worrying about refrigeration. Invest in a good pressure canner and jars so you can also make preserves if you have excess food or crops. Install rain barrels. A garden requires a lot of water, especially if you have a lot of crops. You can install rain barrels on your property to save on water costs and stock up on water for emergencies. This could really be anything, I guess. Now, if you're looking at that, it doesn't have to be rain tanks. If you're looking at water in your garden and just having excess rainwater, it could be anything. Stealth prepping hobbies. It's normal to have hobbies, but some activities can be used to prepare before the shit hits the fan. Make your hobbies a skill that you can use when disaster strikes, like archery and hunting, knitting, metalworking, quilting, sewing, woodworking, working with a knife, cutting up things, learning how to, you know, do all that. You know, having good tools and knives and things with you, and bug out bags and all that sort of stuff. Sharpening equipment and batteries and all that kind of stuff that we've been talking about. Visit shop, estate sales and auctions if you want to buy high quality tools and supplies for a cheaper price. And you may even find other useful items like hand cranked grain mills and washboards and other non-electric appliances. This hobby is one useful way to prep stealthily, since you look like other non-preppers looking for useful items at a good price. Just don't buy too many items in one trip so people don't think of you as a neighborhood hoarder. Herbalism. Many Americans are too dependent on the medical and pharmaceutical industries. You can start learning about herbs to decrease that dependence. This hobby will teach you how to stay healthy, treat simple medical issues, and improve your overall health. Wilderness first aid. You can sign up to classes and all of this so you can learn how to deal with medical emergencies you may experience while bugging out or spending time outdoors. Which is good too. So that's just a few tips, but it is amazing what you can do in your little backyard space and things like that, you know. With that, and of course, you know, looking at these entities and Klaus Schwab and these people of what they want, we obviously aren't going to go there, and we're not going to play ball, and we don't want it. It's going to be a very interesting future, you know, because will all of us be locked out of this new future? It's going to be just bizarre. It's a bizarre thing, but I mean, if you think about it, you know, I guess most people, you know, I was talking about it today with someone, you know, it really is soul rape. They're raping our souls. They want to rape our souls and take it away, you know. And it's, if you look at entertainment and technology and what they're going to offer on the table to people, I think a lot of people won't care, you know. And it's sad and unfortunate, but I think it's like that, you know. Like I think they will be led into this kind of state of being and not care too much about what they've lost. Because they're going to be given so much, but it's all going to be an illusion. It's all going to be fake, you know, in this. So I think we have to go back to the hard ways and these working ways and prepare maybe a little bit. It's hard to really say. And we stocked up on a lot of supplies and a lot of stuff, but we haven't really needed it so much in the last couple of years. We've still been able to get things and do everything. It's incremental, you know. I guess in our hearts we just have to have faith that you know, at the end of the day, enough people will push back here and their plans will get smashed. And it, you know, it is amazing. You know, if I look at what I'm seeing now and what I'm reading and what's being shared and what we're putting up, I mean, it really is quite astonishing, the amount of information that's going out to the public and how many people are coming on board, you know. It really is awesome. And a lot of people thirsty for information. Which is really good. This one, just looking at the jabs, some of the information that I was just going over today from the Defenders, vaccine advisors, angry, disappointed Moderna, FDA and CDC hid data on COVID boosters. Moderna and officials at the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, and Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, or causation, withheld data on Moderna's bivalent boosters from the agency's vaccine advisory committees last year when they met to discuss whether the shot should be authorized. CNN reported Wednesday. Advisors said they were disappointed and angry that Moderna and government scientists had evidence they didn't share showing that the bivalent boosters may have been less effective at preventing COVID-19 than the original shots. Keep in mind, folks, there is no COVID-19. And these reports just state that, you know, like they say it in there. You know, I don't think a lot of these websites and stuff believe in it either, but they report on it like it's real. So we've just got to take it now. We have to take what we can get, and that's okay. If we want people to read this, because part of Klaus Schwab's anal up his anal plan is all these vaccines, and that we're going to keep complying and keep doing all this, but we need this whole thing to crumble and fall apart. So we need this information out as quick as we can get it out there. I was just going to say, folks, on the Kres Files website, doing amazing. Another 25 or 26,000 on the website today. So the last 7 days, this last week till now, well over 100,000 hits on the Kres Files website. And this is a conservative website. It's I'm not sure what the other websites get, but that's over 100,000 hits this week on the website, and it's still continuing today. There's quite a lot on there now, which is really cool. As I said, it's like getting blood from a rock to get members, but that's okay. Fix them. That's okay. I've got enough. We've got a sort of enough members now to, although a lot of, you know, there's a lot of Kres Files members who just aren't on the website anymore, and it worries me, you know. It's just really not enough, considering when I look at these numbers, 100,000, over 100,000 people a week, and I'm struggling to get members for what I'm doing here to keep that website up for people to go on. It's very unbelievably frustrating. But at the end of the day, there's just that right amount to keep it just going. So that's okay. And put a little money in my pocket to get things that I need and do some work on the website, which is happening tonight. Which is going to be a nice little change and hopefully get more people in. But that's really great. You know, that's, you know, nearly or probably will go towards 30,000 people today again on the website who are looking at all that information going up. 30,000. And that is a conservative, low-key, under-the-radar, small, independent, media website that I'm doing here by myself. So that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool to see that. I'm like, wow, my website that I've created is getting that amount. That's a really nice thing. And I just wanted to say that. That's really cool. There's a lot of people going through their website and reading the articles that are going up and maybe listening to some podcasts and things. It's a really nice one. Moderna and officials of the U.S. Food and Drug Administration and Centers for Disease Control and Causation withheld data on Moderna's boosters. That's what they're saying. So advisors said they were disappointed and angry that Moderna, well, nothing's going to happen, right? And government scientists had evidence they didn't share showing that the bivalent boosters may have been less effective at preventing the COVID-19 than the and all of this. So that really, they sort of kind of come out now and say that they're not doing it, even though they're making more. They're making more. As I said, in Queensland, they've got a 3-in-1 shot now. So even though they're telling you they don't work, they're insane. Both advisory committees voted to recommend the shots. And same with the prime ministers and all of this. All these people in the media, right down the line, they were all involved with pushing these. They're angry about the lack of transparency in all of this anyway. So, anyway, that's just a little article that goes on there. There's this one as well from the same publication. The COVID vaccine injury report the CDC was forced to release. So the Centers for Disease Control and Causation vaccine adverse event reporting system, which is the VAERS, safety signal analysis based on reports from December 14th, 2020 to July 29th, 2022 for mRNA COVID-19 jab shows clear safety signals for death. That's great, isn't it? And a range of highly concerning thromboembolic, cardiac, neurological, and hemorrhagic, hematological, immune system, and menstrual adverse events in U.S. adults. Thousands and thousands and thousands, it goes on here. This is 96 safety signals for 12 and 17-year-olds, including mostly myocarditis and pericarditis, Bell's palsy, genital ulcerations. You know, all these young teenagers were getting all these ulcers on their genitals and all over their bodies, high blood pressure and heart rate and palpitations and menstrual irregularities and cardiac valve incompetencies. Pulmonary embolism, cardiac problems and thrombosis, and it goes on and on. Perforated appendix, chest pain, needing intensive care and therapy. 5 and 11 year olds, 5 and 11 year olds, myocarditis, pericarditis, cardiac valve problems, chest pains, appendicitis, Kawasaki's disease, menstrual problems, vertigo. Oh my God, it just doesn't stop. You can't get to the end of it, folks. CDC from Robert F. Kennedy Jr. identified hundreds of safety signals for Pfizer and Moderna COVID vaccines. Bell's palsy, blood clotting, and death were among the signals flagged through analysis of adverse event reports submitted to VAERS. My God. I mean, keep in mind, this is all coming out to the public now from the VAERS. As you can't get to the end of this, it's a massive article. And this is all the reports they didn't want to people to see, but they had to release. Well, this is just one. Spore kids, eh? My God, these people are evil. Same publication again, just a couple I didn't post. Keep in mind, the Children's Health Defense, and Kennedy, they had Janice Barcello on their chats, so, you know, not many people will chat to her and have her on at all. So that's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. This one, exclusive independent advisor who evaluated Pfizer vaccine safety was former paid Pfizer consultant. A member of a independent data monitoring committee charged with ensuring the safety and efficacy of the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 jabs previously worked as a paid consultant and advisor to Pfizer. Unbelievable. This is what you get in Australia through all of them. All of them are involved with the pharmaceutical corporations and the media as well, and the government. Dr. Catherine Edwards. Apparent conflict of interest was revealed during a recent episode of The High Wire with Big Tree. Big Tree, an independent journalist and founder of Informed Consent Action Network. Whether you like him or not, I don't care. We need this information out, and that's good. I'll take it. Siri, supported by ICANN, deposed and then cross-examined Edwards during Hazelhurst v. Hayes, the first vaccine-related autism case to ever reach a jury in the U.S. Edwards served as an expert witness in the Hazelhurst case for one of the defendants, a medical clinic in Tennessee that administered several childhood vaccines to Yates Hazelhurst in 2001. She testified that vaccines Hazelhurst received were not relevant or important to Hazelhurst's subsequent development of autism. Court transcripts reviewed by the defender reveal that Edwards' conflict of interest involving Pfizer was just one of several revealed in her deposition and cross-examination. The transcripts reveal that Edwards had, at times, served on government committees evaluating vaccine safety while maintaining concurrent affiliations with vaccine manufacturers whose products were being evaluated. A review of Edwards' August 2020 deposition and January 2022 cross-examination by Siri also reveals multiple instances where Edwards was apparently coached by others while her testimony was in progress. Edwards denied she was being coached, even when supporting evidence was presented. Along with Edwards' prior apparent conflicts of interest, many of which involved her parallel association with vaccine manufacturers and with bodies evaluating candidate vaccines, the court transcripts raised questions about the broader problems here, independent committees that evaluate vaccine safety. Edwards is viewed as a world-renowned vaccinologist. Board certified in pediatrics, of course. See, these demons who are into vaccines and jabbing people, they're predominantly in pediatrics because they love killing babies. They love it. They're demons. They feed on it. That's what people don't see. These vaccinologists, they're always in pediatrics. We have them in Australia on the TV, like the fat, disgusting, fucking sweaty pig, Professor Robert Bui. Have you seen this fucking pig slob? Asshole bastard. He's sweaty and disgusting. They always got him on the TV shows, on the morning breakfast TV shows, and he's always up there sweating with his glasses trying to get these jabs into kids. And he's in pediatrics, see, because that's a great job for these devils, see, because they can get into families and they can get into the kids when they're little and jab them. They love it. Or when these kids develop problems and illnesses and sicknesses and die, it just gets them off and it makes them more money. They absolutely love it. So these people are always involved in pediatrics, you can guarantee it. Anyway, it goes through this fucking mongrel's essay that I don't want to read because I don't give a shit. But it's massive conflicts of interest being disclosed here. What can you do? I mean, most dummies out there don't know. Don't know any of this. They don't know any of it. They don't know anything. So, you know, putting it up on the website, which I could do. I have a problem with putting up some of these because they talk about the virus as being real or like it is when it's not. But it's okay, I'll take it. I'll take it, because we just have to get information out to people. As fast as we possibly humanly can. There's a lot of people who are just not into this. They don't know about it, and they're on the fence or whatever, you know. So they're not at our level or our listeners' level, you know. That's what you have to understand. And so any bit of information that helps to wake them up is a good one. I'll finish on this tonight to completely change the subject, because it was just something. The reason I bring it up is because I was talking about it today, I think, to Jason. All these popes and all these celebrities and people dying. It's really interesting. And, you know, the sports guys with the 33 on the field and the players going down and everything. There's this whole murder by numbers thing going on. Murder by numbers is happening as well here. And the only reason I bring this up is because I was looking at it today or last night. I was like, this is really interesting. It's another one. Murder by numbers. Lisa Marie Presley, Elvis and Priscilla's only child, dead at 54. Lisa Marie Presley, the only daughter of the late Elvis Presley and Priscilla Presley, allegedly died this Thursday, hours after being hospitalized following an alleged cardiac arrest, according to her mother. The articles in the media are very keen on mentioning that emergency responders were dispatched after a call at exactly 10:37 a.m. local time. 10:37, as in the numerological 137, the very Freemasonic prime number of 33. Yes, we see what you did there. L.A. County Fire Department spokesperson Caitlin Aldana had told CNN that emergency responders were dispatched to call in the 5,000 block of Normandy Doctor in Agoura Hills, California, at 10:37 a.m. local time for a cardiac arrest, 137 33rd Prime. She was hospitalized and allegedly died within hours on January 12th, a day with the infamous 56-date numerology, the calling card of Society of Jesus, the Jesuit Order, 1-12-2023 equals 1 plus 12 plus 20 plus 23 equals 56. So Society of Jesus equals 56, and that's the English reduction. Society of Jesus equals 56, a.k.a. the Jesuit Order. This is no accident, as her name is very perfect match to Society of Jesus. Lisa Marie Presley, Society of Jesus, English Ordinal 187, Reverse Ordinal 187, English Reduction 79, Reverse Reduction 79, Lisa Marie Presley equals 79, 187, Society of Jesus, equals 79,187. Remember, Lisa Marie was once married to Michael Jackson. Michael allegedly died on June 25th, 2009. So Lisa Marie allegedly died on January 12th, 2023. Thus, they died 13 years and 201 days apart. 13 is symbolic of the ruling 13 families. The families that was brought into the out order of the Illuminati created by Jesuit priest Adam Weishaupt, the order that later created the Skull and Bones Freemasonry, and 201 is the most symbolic number of the Jesuit order, hardly a coincidence. Death of Michael Jackson date. So June 25th, 2009, 13 years ago, 2009-06-25. From Thursday, June 25th, 2009 to Thursday, January 12th, 2023 is 13 years, 201 days. The Jesuit order equals 201. Reverse ordinal. The Jesuit order equals 201. In numerology, you can drop the zero as it holds no value. Thus, 201 becomes 21, and appropriately, Jesuit equals 21, and that takes us to Elvis. Jesuit equals 21. The song that made Elvis a national sensation was Heartbreak Hotel. It was recorded and released in January of 56. 56 again, that single was released on January 27th. When Elvis was 21 years old, Lisa Marie died on January 12th, exactly 2 weeks and 1 day before the January 27th anniversary of Heartbreak Hotel. 2 weeks and 1 day, like the Jesuit number of 21. And guess what? Yes, she died at a span of 21 days before her February 1st birthday. Lisa Marie Presley, date of birth, 1st of February 1968. From Thursday, January 12th, 2023, to Wednesday, February the 1st, 2023, is 21 days. The song was recorded by The King on January 10, and Lisa Marie died in Calabasas, California, only days after the 67-year anniversary of the song. Died January 12, 2023, 2023-01-12, age 54, Calabasas, California, U.S. Both Calabasas and Elvis Presley, reverse reduction 67. Human sacrifice, blood sacrifice, English reduction 67. Order 322, satanic English ordinal 67. King equals 67, reverse ordinal. Calabasas equals 67, Elvis Presley equals 67. And his first hit was recorded and released 67 years ago. Human sacrifice equals 67. Blood sacrifice equals 67. Order 322 equals 67, aka Skull and Bones. Satanic equals 67. This was a satanic ritual. King equals 67. Elvis was called the King. And speaking of 56, that was the year when Elvis Presley got his fake polio vaccine shot live on TV as propaganda for the gullible, stupid masses. While 56 has been used all through staged and fake coronavirus pandemic, the alleged death of Lisa Marie has nothing to do with the vaccines, as no celebrities get them. However, it is all about the mind virus, the infodemic. It is controlled desensitization and a way to divide people into camps. Very interesting. To continue, we also know that we are in the year of Skull and Bones, the Freemasonic order, modeled after the Templars and founded by the Illuminati by support of the Jesuit order. She is dead 149 days after Elvis, death anniversary of August 16, and 202 days after the Elvis film released June 24, 2022. So Elvis Presley, date of death, 16th of August 1977, from Tuesday, August 16th to 2022 to Thursday, January 12th, 2023 is 149 days. Elvis 2022 film release dates, June 24th, 2022, 2022-06-24 United States, from Friday, June 24th, 2022 to Thursday, January the 12th, 2023 is 202 days. Skull and on bones, ordinal and reverse ordinal. The English ordinal is 149 and the reverse is 202. So skull and bones equals 149, 202. You could not get a better match than that with the dates. Unbelievable. And being 149 days after Elvis' death anniversary also means that it happened 216 days before the next anniversary. 6 times 6 times 6 equals 216. The sixth cube number, another very ritualistic number in these satanic sacrifice rituals. And if you didn't know, 216 is 330 in octal, 8 base counting, like 33. So from Thursday, January 12th, 2023 to Wednesday, August 16th, 2023 is 216 days. So 3:30 in the 8. Now, remember that Elvis recorded Heartbreak Hotel on January 10th, 1956. The Golden Globes Awards ceremony this year was held on January 10th, where actor Austin Butler won Best Actor for his performance as Elvis in the recently released movie. January 10 came with a 54-date numerology, and Lisa Marie died at 54 years of age. She lived on Normandy Doctor in Agoura Hills. 1-10-2023 equals 1 plus 10 plus 20 plus 23 equals 54. Golden Globes, English reduction 54, and the reverse is 54. Normandy Doctor, both reverse and English 54, and Agoura Hills, Elizabethan reduction, and Agrippa reduction are both 54. Jesuit order 54, English reduction. Golden Globes equals 54, 54, Normandy Doctor and Agoura Hills and Jesuit order all 54s. There is much more to this ritual as always. What is important is to realize that this was no natural or accidental death. Actually, we do not even know if she is dead or if they only killed her character on the world stage. What we do know is that this date that they say she died on is heavily coded to her, her family, and everything around her. And that is not possible by accident. That is 100% proof that this was a calculated and scripted ritual, that it has nothing to do with vaccines or died suddenly. It was a sacrifice ritual. It was done all by the numbers, as pretty much every celebrity death is. For even more proof and deeper understanding of the ritual, you can check the decodes in the video, which I can't play, but it's really interesting as well. Murder by Numbers. So you really see that Elvis Presley and the wife and the daughters, and as we were talking about before, all the famous music and the Doors and Jim Morrison, everything is heavily scripted right up until this point. Everything. And it makes very, 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 very much sense to me that these people are either born into this intentionally, so they're not actually human, or they are, or they're brainwashed, but they live a certain amount of days, like that movie Logan's Run, and this woman at 54, they've taken her out because she had to go on that day. That's her date to go, so she's lived her life to that date. Maybe they know themselves and they take them out because it's all to do with the numbers, because everything's run by the numbers. So you can see that every single Hollywood celebrity and actor and the movies and the whole thing, if you encapsulate it, is all controlled by numbers, and everything has a design. When they're born and when they die and what they do in that is absolutely. And as he says in there very, very truly, this could be the killing off of her character, not her as a person. There could be that as well. It's incredible. But this is pumped out through the news. 54, really? So she's died at 54. Why now? When you look at those numbers, it kind of makes sense. So everything is scripted. Everything's by design. Everything's Masonic. And everything's run by the numbers. And the numbers equal energy. And we, the masses, are watching into this, and we're the battery, we're the payload, we're paying into this with our thoughts and our energy and our aspirations and our hearts and everything and our minds and our souls. We're paying into this system, and we're feeding it like an emotional vampire, and we're watching it, and it's entertaining us. But the whole thing is absolutely 100% scripted. All of the musicians, all of the music, everything. I guess if we know this, then that's okay. And I still like music and listening to it and watching and everything. But I think the key is awareness and being aware of what they're actually doing. It's fucking unbelievable. And this is another one. There's a lot of these coming up. There's a lot of these deaths popping up now, and you're wondering, did they actually really die? It was according to the numbers that they've gone. And that's a really good one. Character assassination. Because these people are just playing characters. Elvis Presley was just a character. It was just a character to entertain people. And that's it. It's all about entertaining and sucking our time away and distracting humanity. And feeding off people lifetime after lifetime. Reincarnation after reincarnation. Sucking. Unbelievable, isn't it? That's a good one to leave on. I'll be back again soon. Take care, folks, and enjoy. Thanks for your support. Can't do it without you. Guys are awesome. And keep on the website. Keep active. I'll be sorted out within the next couple of weeks a little bit more as more podcasts come into play and we get into gear for the new year of 2023. I'm not into gear yet. So still running on empty here, but doing my best. And your support is greatly appreciated here. Take care, and I'll be back again soon, folks.